WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Vigils across the country hours after conservative activist and influencer Charlie Kirk was shot to death when a bullet pierced his neck at Utah Valley University in front of thousands of students who'd gathered to hear him speak.
There's a lot of chants, you know, some for him, some against him, but never did I think that it was going to turn violent. You know, it's something where you feel like you're safe on campus.
President Trump ordered flags lowered to half staff and posted a video message.
Violence and murder are the tragic consequence of demonizing those with whom you disagree day after day, year after year, in the most hateful and despicable way possible.
The manhunt for a suspect continues. Correspondent Jared Hill.
Utah's Department of Public Safety believes the suspect fired the bullet from the roof of a nearby building up to 200 yards away, sources tell CBS News. Two persons of interest were taken into custody and later released Wednesday after police said they were not connected to the shooting. One of them has been charged with obstruction of justice.
Kirk is credited with rallying young people to help elect President Trump last year. Correspondent Robert Costa.
So many Republicans are stunned to see a rising star gunned down. On paper, an activist, someone who was influential with many young Americans, especially those who are more on the right. Yet this is someone who has built relationships in his 20s and early 30s with some of the most powerful people in this country.
Kirk was 31. He leaves behind a wife and two young daughters. Police near Denver are investigating a school shooting. They say two students were wounded at Evergreen High School before the gunman, believed to be a male student, shot himself and later died. Jefferson County, Colorado Sheriff Reggie Marinelli.
It's a tragic day here in Jefferson County. Our hearts go out to everyone affected by this senseless shooting.
A local homeowner says 18 students who ran from the scene pounded on his door asking for help. Police in New York City say they've arrested a man suspected of forcing his way into the home of an elderly couple in Queens Monday, murdering them, then setting the place on fire. CBS New York's Naveen Dhaliwal.
Detectives quickly identified Jamel McGriff as a person of interest. Piece by piece, it all came together. Police say through credit card transactions, surveillance video, and clothes McGriff was wearing. Then officers spotted him Wednesday afternoon at West 44th Street and 7th Avenue in Times Square and took him into custody.
Officials initially thought McGriff was invited into the home after he asked to charge his phone. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Packers football tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. It's the Packers and the Washington Commanders tonight here at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jaden Daniels named the NFL Rookie of the Year last season. The Packers' Micah Parsons asked what it was like playing against Daniels.
Oh, man, it's hard. He's just one of them guys that, like, contain the whole time. You can power him. He can go through the A and B gaps, get outside of you. It's hard, you know what I mean? And just let him know, you know, it's just got to go out there and play hard.
Baseball, the Brewers losing 6-3 to the Rangers. It's the first time since opening weekend the Brewers lost a three-game sweep this season, and only the third time since Pat Murphy took over as the club's manager.
It stinks. We haven't had too many of these. We haven't had too many of these in our... I know in the last 2 years this is the third time we've been swept, right? Yankees, Phillies, and Yankees on the road, Phillies on the road, Rangers on the road.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Areas of fog early, then expect skies to become mostly sunny. It'll be a beautiful September day with a high of 76. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 56. Warmer on Friday with partial sunshine, a high near 80. Mid-80s by Saturday. Right now, it's 57.
Todd Alba.
From the assassination of Charlie Kirk to shootings in Colorado, how do we as Wisconsinites take care of our own mental health as we sort through the news? All that and remembering 9/11. Next time, join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't believe in sex after marriage, Pete Chwaba.
Damn right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Nightlight. I am Pete Chwaba, kicking off Act 2 here on a gorgeous Wednesday night, coming to you live from downtown Green Bay. Heather Heil is my guest. She is in studio. She is the business director of affairs and wears a ton of hats. She's the
business development
director. Yeah. But you do everything over there. So we are going to give Heather a quiz about John Candy in just a moment after a brief recap here. Speaking of John Candy, our question of the night is, what is your favorite John Candy movie? There is a new documentary out about John Candy called I Like Me that Heather told me about a week or two ago, and I'm anxious to see it. It is now out for streaming. But
you can watch it now, and I didn't even know that. So thank you for that's what I'm going to do when I get home. Dan, get it ready. Because
you
that's
said
what
you
we're
cried
tonight.
At the trailer, though.
I was bawling in the trailer. Just because, again, he was such a happy, amazing human who was so sad inside. And I just, honestly, if you are someone out there who has some sadness, like, just talk to somebody.
But
just
don't
say,
we all?
Hey, yeah.
You can't, like, everybody kind of has some of that, you know? How do you, you know, everybody, I assume, hopefully everybody wants to help other people.
You just got
to
check in and just, you know, we got to just normalize checking in with our people.
Exactly. Very well said. And Conrad, what else did we cover? What do I need to go? Oh, Ethan Ogilvie will be here at 7:35. Very exciting. I love, he wrote The Threesome, and when he was on the show in April before he had a screening at the Wisconsin Film Festival at the Barrymore Theater, which was packed. That's where I saw it with a crowd. It was great to laugh with everybody. But he told me about a twist, and I didn't see it coming.
Even though I knew it was coming, I still didn't get it.
And I'm like, oh, my God, how did I not get this?
Okay.
So I'm not going to do a spoiler, but Ethan will be here. And this is so cool because he wrote this film, got it made, got it into festivals, and it did so well. It's in theaters now, and that doesn't happen very often. So I'm excited for his success. We will talk to Ethan at 7:35. Question of the night, we're good. And we are going to get back to our guest, Heather Heil, here.
Hi.
After I read. See what I did there?
Yeah, I like that. I like that. You're athletic.
I'm quite the athlete. Steve from Florida says, I got to say, Pete and Conrad, every movie or skit that John Candy starred in or was part of is my favorite.
Could
make you cry or laugh. A true natural talent that died way too young.
And I feel like people forget that he had so many cameos, so he might not have like been the star of a movie. But if you think to like, he was in Blues Brothers. Do you remember this?
Oh my God!
I have a question about that. Oh, you do? Okay,
but
yeah.
It's not.
Okay, sorry.
I could switch the question but yeah, he was great in that. He's great in. Well, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Name
okay.
His movies
so we'll like get into our quiz and yeah.
He is fantastic. Lee from De Pere says top three, no order. Cool Running.
Yes, Jamaica Mon.
Favorite though, interestingly, I like that.
That was a beautiful movie.
Yeah, it was good. Uncle Buck.
Yep.
Which is probably going to be a runaway winner tonight.
I feel like it's great. I mean, how do you not love Uncle Buck?
And Summer Rental. And then my pal Boris Hamilton on social media also said Summer Rental. And that's the one where John Candy laid out in the sun and had his arms a certain way and got this funky sunburn. Like,
oh, okay. Only the you parts know what? I haven't exposed. Seen Summer Rental. So,
it's funny. Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit, it's not one of his better ones, I don't think, but it's like one of the, it's along the lines of Great Outdoors, vacation right. movie. You know,
Great Outdoors, Planes, Trains, Automobiles.
Absolutely.
Home Alone with our national treasure, Catherine O'Hare. Anytime I can talk about her, I will. I love her.
Did you see
so much
Orange County, the movie? It was a Mike White.
Yes,
I think it was the movie that put him on the map.
Was it the one with the book where it was he found the book on the beach and he goes through the summer? Is that the movie?
I don't remember. No, it's about a kid who's trying to get into a college.
Yes, he finds the book.
The book? I don't remember.
He finds a book on the beach and that like starts his journey to like, does he go to college? And yeah,
Colin Hanks is
the
kid. Okay.
Yes.
Oh wow. Well, Catherine O'Hara in that is so funny. She's drunk through the whole movie.
She's
and
so
nobody
funny.
Does it better drunk than Catherine O'Hara.
Agreed.
In Waiting for Guffman, the scene at the dinner table where the guy's talking about having the penis reduction.
I haven't seen this movie.
Oh, my.
Okay, I'm going to have to because honestly, she is my favorite.
That scene is maybe the funniest she's ever been.
Yeah.
And okay. It's with Fred Willard, who's brilliant. And anyway,
okay.
You got to check it out.
Okay,
all right,
that's
so
my homework.
We're about to do this quiz, but I know you have something. You wanted to give me homework.
I do. Which... You have another piece of homework. So okay. On HBO right now, there's a little show called Somebody Somewhere. There are three seasons, very bingeable, and it has Bridget Everett in it, who is a comedian, and she does like a cabaret show in New York, and like Sarah Jessica Parker and like big names love to go and see her. So she just had the show. It's a little vulgar. You're going to want to do it after the kids go to bed if you're going to watch a show, but it's a authentic show with two no-name actors about friendship and family and just figuring life out together. And it's so glorious. And again, they say some dirty words all the time, but they're in context, so it's not just saying the dirty words. But
yeah.
And I loved it so much. Jeff Hiller, who is in it, wrote a book called Actress of a Certain Age that I just read because I just fell in love with him even more.
On the stream, there it is, folks.
Yep.
Actress of a Certain Age, and that is the source material for, say, the show name.
For Somebody Somewhere. Again, you'll watch the first episode and be like, what am I watching? It's very B-roll. Hmm. Stay with it. Stay all with right. it.
That's risky when you take a chance like that because people don't stay with stuff.
I know. And I was like, what am I watching?
And
but
for
I'm
the
like,
record.
I love this. And I was laughing and crying and just all of the good emotions things. I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, I would cut you off. I was just saying I'm okay with the dirty words even if they aren't in context. I love a good dirty word.
Of course
word.
You would be.
Conrad swears all the time. I don't know. Do your parents know how much you swear?
Yeah, they're the ones who taught me.
You're talking about how your dad your dad's
no,
hair is thinning. You might
no,
be stressing him out with your potty mouth there.
Yeah.
Craig Anthony Kinnett on the stream says, John Candy, he is absolutely wonderful in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes.
But one of my favorite roles is much smaller. I love him on the park as the park official in Vacation.
Right. Yeah, he went, well, welcome to Wally World, kids.
Moose out front should have told
sorry,
you.
Sorry, we're closed.
All right, on that note, I think we got to get to this quiz with our guest, Heather Heil from the Green Bay Children's Museum. She is always so much fun when she's here. She alerted me to this John Candy documentary, I Like Me, which I haven't seen yet, but I'm
I haven't seen it either, but I've
intended.
Seen the trailer and was all in, so I'm going to watch it tonight
yeah.
when I get home.
And you cried during a trailer.
During the trailer, because it just was so beautiful how, I mean, Steve Martin up here talking about you in such a brilliant way. I mean.
It's unbelievable.
What a
he's
great
very
life.
Very sympathetic guy, empathetic guy, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Looked out for his cast members. I love the guy. So, all right, Conrad, I think we got to start this
you ready?
Quiz.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's just naming the movie, right?
Where did I send
I'm
you the quiz?
Oh, naming movies?
Where's the quiz?
I think it's in my pile here.
No, you can't have the answers.
Just kidding. Teasing. Oh, so where, are you going to play me clips and I have to guess them?
Give me one sec.
Okay. Conrad is printing out.
How about I just give you...
Conrad is a great producer, but he's not perfect. He forgot to print out the quiz, but that gives us more of a chance to talk.
I know. We can talk
we
about
never
more
talk
things.
Anymore.
I know. I actually texted Pete, just so you know, and said, hey, did we break up? True
because
story.
Because I know.
True story.
Thank you, buddy. Because I said I wanted to have you on the show. I said, how about this date? And you said, okay. And sometimes I just kind of catalog that. I'm like, oh, great, she's in. And I didn't respond.
And he didn't respond. So then I was like, hey, did we break up? And then I told him to wear something pretty. He said, oh, yeah, I forgot. Sorry.
No. I said, we were on a break.
We were on a break. You did.
All right. So we've got a great quiz here. Conrad, so you want to tell me which ones you have you know, audio
I'm
clips
so
for?
Nervous,
because that'll be a little more fun.
Because I'm super competitive, yeah. You guys.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I have all the clips that all the movies that you sent me, so we can just...
Let's do that.
Yeah.
We'll do it that way. That'll be more fun.
Okay.
Than me just
from the audio or from a question?
Well...
I have all the audio if you want to do the question
we could just
first.
Do the question.
Okay,
the
and audio. Just for the streamers, like, I have his movies just pulled up so, like, I can see.
So it's not cheating.
So I'm not cheating.
That's
it's
fair.
Just that I can, like, be like, oh, yeah, it was that one.
I don't know if that's not cheating.
Is it cheating?
It's okay. There's no, you're not going to be graded on this. So we'll be, all right, so here we go.
I can put.
How old was John Candy when he passed away in 1994?
I believe he was 50, 51, 50?
Is 50. That your final answer?
Final answer, 50.
43.
What?
He was born in 1950, died in 1994.
Okay, 1950, that's what I was thinking. I was
Isn't
like 50.
Crazy?
Yeah. 43, that's way too young.
I thought he died like in 2010. I didn't realize he'd been gone for like 30 years.
Yeah.
That is insanity.
Yeah.
All right, you're 0 for 1, but I like your chances moving forward.
Okay, right. I know. I'm not doing good, guys.
What comedy classic? Do you have this one, Con? You have a clip? All right.
I do.
Okay.
Let's hear it. Let me read this and then play the clip. What comedy classic by Mel Brooks did John Candy play a mog named Barf? Go ahead, Con.
What was that? Never mind that. What was that?
Hi.
Who are you?
Barf.
Not in here, mister. This is a Mercedes.
Nah, that's my name. Barf.
Barf? What are you?
I'm a mog. Half man, half dog. I'm my own best friend.
What do you want?
Your father hired Captain Lone Star and me to save you. Come on, we gotta hop up this ladder and get out of here.
Good, quick. Hurry, darling. Follow the dog.
Mog. I'm a mog.
What is Spaceballs?
Whoa! Oh,
yes!
I like that.
Yeah.
I like the victory sound.
Okay.
All right, so you're plus one. One for two. Did you know that right away before you heard the
clip? Yeah, I did.
Okay, nice.
When you said
that.
Mog.
I'm my own best friend. Let's just... She's going to get all these.
I don't know that I will.
Just say the question on this one, I think, and it should be good.
What movie did Candy star in about a Jamaican bobsled team in 1993?
Cool Runnings. Yes, because we just talked about that.
I know. We talked about
Lee
all these.
Lee from De Pere. That was his, right? Lee? Lee from De Pere.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. He snuck in Cool Runnings there.
I know.
All right, I have to figure out how I'm going to read this one. Okay. In what 1980 film did Candy's character order an orange whip?
Orange whip, orange whip, orange whip. That would be the Blues Brothers.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
Yes!
He wants to watch them play.
I know.
Come on, relax. I've never seen these guys play. It's
such
beautiful.
A great character. Oh, okay.
So great. Okay. All right. Let's keep moving here. We got, in what holiday classic was John Candy a member of the Kenosha Kickers polka band?
That would be Home Alone. His name was Gus, and I want that jacket.
All right. Fair enough.
Gus Polinski?
There's a chance for bonus points here.
Okay.
For bonus points, how many copies did the Kenosha Kickers' biggest hit sell, and what was the name of the song?
I do not know.
Con,
I know.
Do you have a clip?
F minus.
I do. We'd have to play the next segment.
Okay,
that's fine. So
shoot.
Let me tell
like
you.
Five?
Okay. They sold 623 copies. The song was Polka Polka.
And in Sheboygan.
Sheboygan's yes, polka. Sorry,
polka.
I let you down out there.
Well, you got the question right. That was just bonus.
Yeah.
And I love that he says, maybe you heard of it, polka, polka, polka.
Yeah, like, and Catherine O'Hare's like, no.
It's just three words and it's just polka. Oh, so gorgeous.
Thank you for the memories,
John. All
right,
do we have time for one more question if we don't use VideoCon?
Yeah.
Here's a good one.
Okay.
Name a movie John Candy starred in with Tom Hanks. There were two of them. Ooh.
Oh.
I can, why don't we say, play
a clip.
Yeah, give me a minute.
Okay, we'll do that.
I'll need a clip.
We're going to do a quick break. We're going to come back and play a clip. How long is the clip? We got to wait till after the break, Con?
Yes.
Okay. We will play the clip after the break. We're going to keep this on the up and up. And Heather Heil's doing very well. So we're going to come back after a very short break and continue our John Candy quiz.
Thinking.
Where else are we going to have a John Candy quiz on the radio? The Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it feels like love. There's a heart.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, this is Lance Barber, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabbles.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me here at Nightlight tonight, folks. Conrad Krieger working the board. Heather Heil sitting to my left. Stage left?
Yes.
Yeah. Taking our John Candy quiz. Heather is the Director of Business Development at the Green Bay Children's Museum. They have some really outstanding events coming up, including... Beyond the Forest, Beyond the Enchanted Forest.
Yep, adult fundraiser coming up on October 3rd. We have some stuff for the kids. We have some Halloween parties. We have Breakfast with Santa. We have so Worldwide fun. Day of Play, which is in conjunction with Nickelodeon. So just some really big, fun things
And the
happening.
Lobby's going to look like an Enchanted Forest.
It will.
I've never been in an Enchanted Forest.
Oh,
I've never
you will.
Been enchanted, and I've rarely been to a
yes.
forest. So this sounds like the event for me.
I got you.
John Kelly and the Fusion Express Orchestra December 4th and Breakfast with Santa December 3rd. Get your tickets fast. They are going quickly. So right now, though, we own you and you are owning this John Candy quiz. And we have, before we went to the break, I read the question and you didn't think you knew. Conrad said, I have a clip.
Okay. Yeah.
The question was, name a movie John Candy starred in with Tom Hanks. There are two of them and Conrad is going to play one of those.
Okay.
Now.
What's with her?
Oh, she had a little accident over the weekend. Got hit in the head by some lightning. And it's not funny, Freddy. It's not funny.
I'm sorry. That's not funny. That's not funny.
Besides, she's okay. She can still do certain things around the office.
Like what? Jumpstart a car?
That laugh.
Jumpstart a car.
Any guesses?
I don't remember that, but I feel like it was Daryl Hannah in this movie.
Yes.
Is this Splash?
Follow Your Instincts, yes.
Really?
Correct, Conrad? Yeah.
And I know Tom Hanks was in there, but I'm going to have to rewatch that and know that. What was the other one?
Volunteers.
Oh, I've never seen that movie either.
I don't think I've ever seen, or if I did, it was on cable.
Volunteers. Force.
Yeah. Okay. All right, moving on. Another question here.
Oh,
in
more.
What movie was John Candy shot with a BB gun by Chevy Chase?
That wasn't Wally World. Yeah, was it Wally World? It was Vacation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, made kids. Me nervous
parks
there.
Closed.
Remember, he says you couldn't even break the skin with that clock. It could break the skin and cause a very
yes.
bad infection.
I went to Home Alone, and I was like, "No, he didn't get shot. Joe Pesci got shot."
Oh, right.
Yeah, so what?
All right, Con, you got a clip for this next one?
Yeah, I do.
All right, one of my favorite movies. In what film did John Candy play the character Dewey Oxberger?
Oh, you got the clip?
Let's
I know what
clip.
It is before the clip.
This is a genius clip.
My name's Dewey Oxberger. My friends call me Ox. You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I went to this doctor, and he told me I swallowed a lot of aggression, along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas. I'm basically a shy person. I'm a shy guy, and he suggested taking one of these aggression training courses. You know, these aggressive training courses like EST, those type of things. Anyway, it cost $400. $400 to join this thing. Well, I didn't have the money. And I thought to myself, join the army. It's free. So I figured, while I'm here, I'll lose a few pounds. And you got what, a 6 to 8 week training program here? A real tough one? Which is perfect for me. I'm gonna walk out of here a lean, mean, fighting machine.
You can hear Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
Great thinking, Ox. Great
yeah.
thinking.
Such a classic. It would be Stripes.
Yes!
Yeah!
That is awesome. My favorite line in that movie, though, was Harold Ramis' line. He said, I've always been kind of a pacifist. So, but I just want you guys to know, if we ever see serious combat, I'm going to be right there behind you guys.
Yeah, you will be. Mm-hmm.
All right, we are zipping through here. We got time probably for a couple more here. In this classic movie, John Candy is trying to help Steve Martin's character get home for thanks.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Boom. All right.
Great movie.
One of my,
it's in
my top five.
Yeah. It's like, do you watch
all
it
time.
At Christmas every year? Yeah, same.
I try to do it Thanksgiving, but at some point. It's just, it's a perfect movie. Funny, heartwarming, but not cheesy. Great music. Beautiful scenery. It's just amazing. All right. In this summer classic that will make every Wisconsinite think of Up North, John Candy stars opposite Dan Aykroyd.
What is The Great Outdoors?
Yes. Oh, man. Look at the, look at all these plus ones.
I know.
Yes. It's got a lot of plus ones there, folks. We are
winning. Little Charlie Sheen.
Little Charlie Sheen. She's crushing it. All right. We're doing great. We got three more questions.
Oh, gosh.
In this John Candy classic, he made huge pancakes. Con?
This is where you separate the men from the boys.
Yeah, you do.
There you go.
Jen, I got you now.
Happy birthday! I hope you're hungry. You should see that toast. I couldn't even get it through the door.
I feel like that was improv. Like, he totally improv that. Like,
maybe.
That I feel like that
That's
was just something he said.
My buddy Mike Schmidt's favorite line, and our pal JB Thompson, the guy behind the guy, Con?
Behind the guy.
Behind the guy.
Behind the guy.
He said, Uncle Buck, you should see the French toast.
Yep.
Right. Very well done. All right. We've got two more. I think we can get them both in here if we hurry. Name two other cast members that share the stage with John Candy at Second City in Toronto.
Oh, I'm not going to be Dan Aykroyd and
ooh, no.
We
mentioned
John Belushi,
the woman you just mentioned before,
Catherine O'Hara.
Yes,
and
we'll count that one. Eugene Levy, Martin Short,
okay.
Andrea Martin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously.
Finally, for Heather Howe, what is your favorite John Candy movie?
Oh, just one. Probably Home Alone.
Home Alone. Very
I know.
Nice.
Again, Catherine O'Hara.
I love it. You crushed this. I think you only missed one. Outstanding work up top.
Thank you for humoring me tonight and talking about the John Candy documentary that I haven't watched.
You motivate us to
get it done.
To make
get out
quizzes.
There. Watch right. the things.
Heather Heil, ladies and gentlemen. She is headed back to the museum right now because you're.
I am.
That's
I,
how much
I gotta
you work.
Go work.
We'll do it again. I hope you'll come back.
Always.
It's always fun.
Yes.
All right,
thank
Heather
you,
Heil.
Pete.
Coming up next after the news, Ethan Ogilvy, the writer of the hit new movie The Threesome. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Say it and you're blind.
7.7.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Special Report. Vigils across the country last night after conservative activist Charlie Kirk was shot to death in front of thousands of students gathered to hear him speak at Utah Valley University. President Trump ordered flags lowered to half staff.
He fought for liberty, democracy, justice, and the American people. He's a martyr for truth and freedom, and there's never been anyone who was so respected by youth.
The manhunt for a shooter continues. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
Hours after this shooting, it remains unclear who's suspected of pulling the trigger. Local law enforcement says a suspect has not yet been taken into custody.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Charlie Kirk was convincing younger conservative voters across the country to support President Trump last year, made him so essential to his reelection campaign.
Charlie Kirk was 31. He leaves behind a wife and two young daughters. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Packers football tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. It's the Packers and the Washington Commanders tonight here at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jaden Daniels named the NFL Rookie of the Year last season. The Packers' Micah Parsons asked what it was like playing against Daniels.
Oh, man, it's hard. He's just one of them guys that, like, contain the whole time. You can power him. He can go through the A and B gaps, get outside of you. It's hard, you know what I mean? And just let him know, you know, it's just got to go out there and play hard.
Baseball, the Brewers losing 6-3 to the Rangers. It's the first time since opening weekend the Brewers lost a three-game sweep this season, and only the third time since Pat Murphy took over as the club's manager.
It stinks. We haven't had too many of these. We haven't had too many of these in our... I know in the last 2 years, this is the third time we've been swept, right? Yankees, Phillies, and Yankees on the road, Phillies on the road, Rangers on the road.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives star and founder of the soft swinging group on TikTok called Mom Talk will be the new Bachelorette. Taylor Frankie Paul will have her pick of men on national television. But be careful, attention-seeking hot guys, because she is no stranger to scandal. Paul, the mother of two, confessed that she and other couples in the community were soft swingers, meaning she and her husband regularly made out with other couples. Once you get a look at Taylor Frankie Paul, you'll realize why all the other husbands wanted a French kisser. In addition to two hot first names, she has perfect eyebrows. According to the New York Post, the soft swinging resulted in a pregnancy for Paul by another husband. That must have been some kiss. Beware, though, bachelor, she was also charged with a third-degree felony for throwing something at her first husband that accidentally hit her child. Don't worry, the charges were dismissed, paving the way for Paul to choose another potential baby daddy on national TV. I think I'm in love. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Areas of fog early, then expect skies to become mostly sunny. It'll be a beautiful September day with a high of 76. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 56. Warmer on Friday with partial sunshine, a high near 80. Mid-80s by Saturday. Right now, it's 57.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I love Angela Lang, and I think Dan Schaefer is great. Dan Schaefer could replace me in a heartbeat. Angela Lang could replace me in a heartbeat. There are so many more talented people. I'm the only one willing to get up before 4 a.m. to do this show. You get the guy old enough to have to wake up and pee, and that's the whole business model behind this show. You're welcome, Mr. and Ms. Middle America.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, Brian Kennedy, mayor of Glendale and national president of Democratic Municipal Officials, on getting yourself trained to run for local office.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night, folks. Coming to you live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay and places beyond over the app and stream. Heather Heil just took our John Candy quiz. Check out the new John Candy documentary, I Like Me. I have not seen it yet, but boy, that was fun. And what better Hollywood person could you take a quiz about? Very exciting stuff. All right. We're going to turn from John Candy to, we're still going to delve into comedy here because my next guest is the writer of the hit new film, The Threesome. This is a film that started as an independent film, made the festival rounds and crushed it at festivals. And then the ultimate happened. It got a wide theater release, which is almost unheard of, but very exciting. And I'm very excited to have the author or the scribe, as they say in Hollywood, of The Threesome, Mr. Ethan Ogilvie. Hey, buddy.
Hi, how are you?
Doing very well. It's great to have you back. Sorry, what's that, Ethan?
I said it's such an honor to be back for a second time.
Oh, well, the honor is all ours. Thank you so much. This is exciting, and I could not have wished for better things from you because you had this great screening coming up at the Barrymore in Madison in April. I saw it with a packed house. Just love the movie. And here you are months later, and your movie is in wide release in theaters. How does that feel?
It feels great. It feels anytime I can take a step back and just look at the whole journey, get some good perspective on it, it really is satisfying in a very deep way. Like, this is a script that I started working on 10 years ago. So the fact that after a full decade, I can actually go see it in a theater with my friends at, you know, an AMC is a real treat. So I'm very grateful about how it turned out, about the journey the film has been on. And yeah, it's been a very fun experience.
That's so great. Hey, I think we're having a little technical issue. Should we call him, Con? Can we give you a call on the phone, Ethan? Or maybe... Oh, something just happened there. Maybe the microphone was covered up or something.
Oh, that's possible. Is that any better?
What do you think, Con?
Yeah, if you could just send me your number in the StreamYard chat, then I could give you a call right away.
Yeah, maybe we'll just play it safe here. You can stay on the stream, though, Ethan, and we can still see each other, but if you don't mind, we'll just give you a call. So Ethan was just basically saying it was the dream of a lifetime, and now he can go see a movie that took him 10 years from the time he sat down to write it, to get it made. And now it's in theaters, and that's gotta be very exciting, folks. If you haven't seen it yet, or if you're unaware of it, check your local listings around theaters. I know it was playing in Green Bay. I'm sure it's in Milwaukee and Madison. It's called The Threesome, and it's a great, it's funny, thoughtful characters and a twist you will not see coming, even though I'm telling you there's a twist. So we will get Ethan on the phone and continue our interview with Ethan. Tomorrow night on the show, folks, we will make the popcorn pick of the week. It's Thursday. And we will also have a guitarist for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Al Petrelli will be here tomorrow night at 7:35. So that's another fun night here at Nightlight. And plenty of chances for you to weigh in. Conrad will not be here. He will be at the Packer game. But we will push on with our pal Amanda Nimmer, who is always fun to work with as well. Okay, we have Ethan now, I believe, on the phone. Are you there, buddy?
Okay, I'm here. I'm back.
Oh, that sounds great. Okay, well, it's great to have you. I was just kind of summarizing what you said because I heard it pretty clear, just that it took 10 years. Is that true?
You know, I guess I haven't gotten to tell the full story much, but I did finish a draft about 10 years ago, and it actually was with another producer for a time, and we just couldn't get it financed. He was trying to do it for like $1 million, and I think we got about 2/3 of the way there and just couldn't take it home. And then I just sort of sat on it for a while. It wasn't like I've been actively working on it the full 10 years, but when my partner and I, my wife and I, wrote a pilot, that got us repped at CAA with a TV agent. And then I asked my TV agents, like, hey, is there anybody on the film side that we could give this script to? It's been sitting on a shelf. And then when my film agent, Anna Jinx, got it, she hooked it up with the Starthor producers, Tim and Trevor White. And that's when things really got going. And then it was only 5 years after that that the movie made it to theaters.
Isn't that crazy how long? And that's the one thing about, like, with feature films, they just take long to write, they take long to rewrite. And then I remember I co-wrote a film called A Guy Thing. And I remember the first day the producer said, "We're going to fast track this." I'm like, "Great, I needed the money."
Yeah.
And he goes, "We're thinking 5 years." I'm like, "That's a fast track." So whatever, they ruined it anyway, but it doesn't matter. But this film, Ethan, is just, you told me there was a twist in it when you were here last time and you didn't want to give it away and I didn't want you to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there with all these people in this theater and I still didn't see it coming. So well done on that front as well. But talk a little bit about how was it when you set out to write it? What I love about your characters, mm-hmm. the characters come from different backgrounds. They have different opinions on various things, but they're also thoughtful. Was it like that the minute you finished the script, or did you get notes, or is that just how you write?
I would like to say that quality of it has been there since the very beginning, that there was never a version where anybody has ill intentions or is actively trying to harm anybody else. There's no scheming or anything. That no one's trying to hurt anybody else, and yet they're constantly hurting each other because they've just entered into this situation that is so complicated and the stakes are so high and everything's so loaded and the emotions are so strong. So, you know, it's been really interesting as people start to watch the film that people have, you know, the three major characters. Sometimes people, you know, all three can be different people's favorites. All three can be people's least favorites. Like sometimes, you know, the lead gal in particular, some people like really end up rooting against her. She takes it a little too far. I love her personally, but
yeah.
Yes, I do. I would like to think, and I think it's gotten better as different producers have weighed in. And then as our director, Chad Hartigan, got his hands in the material. But I'd like to think that that's always been a goal of the project, is that it's a three-hander where everybody's just doing their best and yet things keep going south.
To me personally, I think that's the mark of a really solid film, is when you maybe don't like someone, but you also still sympathize with them in some way, or you can relate to what they're doing. And all these characters, you know, to me, it's like kind of an edgy film, even though you're rooting for everybody. Like you've really accomplished something in my mind here that is really admirable, because it's just a feel-good film, but there are serious stakes involved in the film.
Yeah, that's what we were going for. I will say, I remember running into you after the screening in Wisconsin, and you were so fired up about the twist, and that was such a delight to see you. I mean, the whole experience was great. I'm like a Wisconsin Film Festival fan forever now. It's such, I couldn't believe how many people they turn out for these screenings, like, you know, ours in particular. Like, it was almost as big as our South by Southwest premiere, and that was just such a blast. So I hope there's another film I can come back with, because it is such a great time.
Yeah.
And I'm glad the crowd for the most part responded really well to it. It's a film that I love watching with crowds, because not just because of the laughs, but because of the two twists that nobody sees coming. Like, I love hearing the gasps and like the murmurs, the ripples that go through the crowd as people like kind of can't believe what just happened.
My guest is Ethan Ogilby. He is the writer of The Threesome, which you can catch in theaters right now. It is a very critically acclaimed film. It had a great festival run, and now it is out there. So check it out, folks. Ethan is joining me over the stream and over the phone tonight. We have a few more minutes with him. How do you write, Ethan? Do you write every day, or do you write when the mood catches you? Do you have a place you go in your house to write? What is your process like?
Well, it's changed a lot since I had kids, and it is a funny sort of life imitates art that the movie's about a young man who essentially ends up with twins, and then my partner and I had twins. they just turned four. So it has been a lot harder of late to find that perfect, undisturbed, the mood is striking me, the candles are lit kind of moment. But I just sort of have to force myself to write anywhere, anytime, whenever there's a spare half hour or hour, or after everybody's gone to bed and I'm tired, but I'm trying to push through it.
Yeah.
But I used to be much more precious about it when I was younger, but now I really try and treat it more like a job, and I just have to get to work whenever I can. And I think it also helps that the way I write is very fluid, that I will write a scene knowing that it's not going to stay that way. It's not perfect. Most of the lines are going to change. And then I sort of go over it again and again and again, rewriting it until eventually it's like formed into something that I can live with. But I really need to like see it in front of me to get a sense of how well it's working. And that's, you know, same thing with the whole story, that I wish I was the kind of person that I write it all on note cards, and then the note cards are the structure and they don't change, and I can envision the whole thing before I even write it, but I'm just not like that. But I really have to be writing it over and over again to hopefully get in there and get a sense of how things are flowing and how things are playing.
How do you deal with writer's block? I've talked to many, I love talking to writers, but there's different ways. Do you plow through? Do you just accept the laziness and hope to be inspired? Do you look for a muse? What is your process in dealing with writer's block?
It's a tough one. And I think I do get stuck. You know, this movie is a good example of, and I'm not sure if this is necessarily writer's block, but where you're stuck on something, you just quite can't nail it. And the beginning of this movie was actually something that's always been tough. It's changed a lot through different, you know, the first couple scenes have been so many different things and changed so many different times. And I don't know, I wish I had some great advice, but like sometimes going on a walk honestly helps, just getting away from the laptop. I do have a mind that tends to always kind of be thinking about what I'm writing. So even if I'm making dinner or sometimes watching something else, or obviously in the shower, like I do feel like my in the back of my mind, I'm sort of tinkering with it. So sometimes that helps, just to, you know, not be beating my head against the wall. Like I have to figure this out right now, that I try and let go a little more, and hopefully the unconscious mind does a little work for me. But I don't know, if I knew how to beat that, I'd probably be a much more successful writer.
I think you're doing okay. Do you have a, have you found that like your agency with the success of the threesome, do the people around you want you to write more in this genre? Are they saying, this is your thing now? People are going to look for the next thing from you. It's got to be in this genre. And how do you respond to that? Or are you just like, I'm writing whatever I want to write?
The follow-up that I'm almost done with another romantic comedy that I think is a little different than this. It's a little more, I think it's a little more commercial, maybe a little more of a studio bent, but honestly, in watching The Threesome so many times and getting to see how people respond to it, I'm really also trying not to lose the voice of The Threesome, that I do want to have, like, you know, that's one thing I would like to believe, is that The Threesome does have a distinct voice in the writing. And I want to make sure that even if that's in a slightly more commercial studio vehicle, and again, like no studios have bought this yet. I'm writing this all on spec.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that even in a format that's a little more commercial, that my voice remains intact and I'm not like trying to do something completely new. Beyond that, I don't know. Like I want to write a lot of different things. I have a lot of different interests, and if you watch The Threesome, you won't be surprised to know that I also like drama. I like when things get very dramatic. The characters in this movie get very sad at times because things are very hard for them. And I do want to explore a bunch of different genres. But I imagine for the near future, I'll probably end up staying roughly in the comedy, if not even like romantic comedy space. But
let's pick up right there.
Lots of different things.
We have to do a very short break, and we'll have a couple more minutes with Ethan when we come back on Nightlight. I caught up
with a pastime. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Did the dog catch the car? We have election denier legal trouble involving voting dogs, former election officials claiming they're political prisoners, and 2020 fake electors who claim they didn't know what they were doing was wrong. A Costa Mesa, California woman trying to demonstrate mail-in voter fraud was arraigned September 9th for fraudulently registering her dog Maya to vote, then casting a mail ballot in two elections in 2022. Laura Lee Urich self-reported her scheme in 2024 and posted a picture of Maya with an I voted sticker. She faces up to 6 years in prison.
Bridge, Michigan reports that a circuit court judge dismissed felony charges against Michigan's 15 GOP fake electors September 2nd. The judge ruled the state failed to prove the electors knew that signing and sending the alternative slate of electors to the U.S. Senate was illegal. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel has not ruled out an appeal. Colorado Newsline reports that Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters, convicted by a jury of four felonies relating to the tampering of her county's election machines, filed a federal habeas corpus claim asking to be released on bond pending appeal. Her attorney calls Peters a political prisoner. The state argues the federal government doesn't have jurisdiction and the case should be dismissed. We have links to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwama. Great to have you with me. We are winding down this show. We've got a couple more minutes with our guest, Ethan Ogilby. He is the writer of the great romantic comedy, The Threesome, which you can catch in theaters right now. Ethan, what was the biggest challenge in getting this all the way from start to the theaters, and what was the most rewarding part of the process?
The biggest challenge certainly it took us a while to get the cast in place, that we kept sort of having this thing of like we would get one of the roles in place and it was happening over a long period of time, that it was during COVID and then there were the strikes. But we would get like half the cast in place and be almost there, and then that person would drop out, and then we get, you know, like, I felt like we were almost running out of people to go out to for a second there. But I feel like we found our leads at like exactly the right times to come in and save the movie. And, you know, I just couldn't be more happy with the people we got. You know, I feel like there's like an adage about like the film, you know, I'm going to get it wrong, but like something about getting, you end up with the right people, the people you deserve, something like that. So I'm so happy that the like circuitous journey that it took to cast the film, that we ended up with who we did. But that's so much of what the financing, from my experience, it's so much of what getting a film financed is about, is having cast with enough juice to get you a few million bucks to sell a few foreign territories before you shoot, that kind of thing. So that was harrowing at times. There were a few moments when I was like, oh no, it's not going to happen. And I think the most rewarding part, I think definitely I have to say that the highlight was the very first screening at South by Southwest, because I think that was the time when no one knew what was going to happen. It was all sort of up in the air of, I hadn't even seen the final cut. I didn't know how people were going to respond to it. I didn't know what the, you know, audience was going to be like, what the critical response was going to be. And pretty early on, I was surprised how much people were laughing, and people were missing lines because they were still laughing at the joke before that.
Wow.
And that was just a really, it was a really thrilling, thrilling day. So even though I had an amazing time at Wisconsin, or our premiere last week was really fun, it's more of a known quantity at that point, and you've sort of settled into what the fate of the film is going to be, whereas when at our first screening at South by Southwest, I just sort of had no idea which way it was going to go, and it was such a pleasant surprise. And like at our party afterward, I feel like everyone was just so giddy because everyone was so excited that it went this well, and we weren't sure what was going to happen because, you know, you never know what's going to happen when you take something out into the world for the first time. So, you know, right. Maybe the director who'd done more test screenings and really like sunk his teeth into it more was much more confident going in, but like, I didn't know it was going to happen. And it was a great day. It was really something all. And because it was my first film, like, I feel like it's going to be tough to kind of ever top that, just because the stakes and the uncertainty and then it going so well was quite a day. Pretty unforgettable.
Very well said, and a very thoughtful answer, which does not surprise me after seeing your work. So that's great. We have about a minute left. I just want to ask you, what have you seen? Mm-hmm. Like, what have you seen in the theaters that got you excited in the last few weeks or over the summer?
You know what movie I would love to plug? And it was the only reason I heard about it was because it was at the Annapolis Film Festival with us, and it played at Sundance first, but The Ballad of Wallace Island is an independent film, and Sony Pictures Classics released it. And my wife and I were looking for a movie, and it was playing in a theater near us. It was a movie we didn't know anything about. So it was like 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I just thought it was like the funniest, most charming film I'd seen in quite a while. And I watched it again since then. I don't have time to watch as many movies as I like. So the fact that it got a second viewing before the year is even up, like, I just thought it was fantastic. And I was charmed from moment one to the very end. And, you know, I felt the camaraderie of another independent film. This one,
yeah,
I think, did a little better than ours, but it was such a great film, and I've been recommending it to anyone who will listen.
Well, Ethan, thanks for sticking with us through the tech issues. Good luck with the new spec and enjoy this ride. It's so great. And I'm thrilled for you. And it's great catching up on the show. Hope to have you back sometime.
Yes.
Talking about your next film.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah.
And thank you for being a champion for the film and saying such nice things about it. I had to laugh when you called it a hit film because I don't think we can quite quite go that far, but I really do appreciate the support.
You got it. Anytime, buddy. Have a great night. And right like the wind. You got it.
Okay.
All right. Ethan Ogilvy. And it is a hit. I mean, you start with a script, it becomes a festival darling, and then you it gets into theaters. I mean, it's not maybe going to make what Titanic made, but that's a huge victory and great stuff for what a guy who seems like a really good guy and a very talented writer, Ethan Ogilvy. Check out the threesome. You going to see it, Con?
Yeah.
You said you thought you knew what the twist was, so don't say it.
I'm not going to. I think I know it. I haven't seen it yet. I want to go see it. It's in some theaters in Green Bay right now. So
yeah.
I might check it out tomorrow because, you know, I got some time before the game.
Right. You can switch gears a little bit. Get yourself see a nice romantic comedy before you go watch those meatheads bang.
Exactly. Perfect day right there.
It's what's funny is I did not know. I saw with Greg Liana, my partner, who was there for his Meet the Parents thing. They showed his film and I hosted the Q&A. And Greg and I are watching the movie and I'm going, what's the twist? And he's like, I don't know. And when it happens, you go, how did I not see that coming? But you still don't. So anyway. All right. Tomorrow night, folks, join us. It's the Popcorn Pick of the Week at 6:35. And then Al Petrelli from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra will be here to talk about their upcoming shows. He's the band's guitarist and a really fun interview. And we will be back tomorrow night to do this all again. One more comment about John Candy movies. Dave, watching on X, says, Stripes. You can't. They're all good, right?
Stripes is fantastic. Candy. But I think Uncle Buck won.
It beat Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
I think so.
That's not right. But it's John Candy. I'm not going to argue. All right, folks. We're coming back tomorrow. Hope you have a great night. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. President Trump speaks out after the murder of political analyst and media personality Charlie Kirk.
Charlie was the best of America, and the monster who attacked him was attacking our whole country.
The 31-year-old was shot and killed on the campus of Utah Valley University in front of thousands of students who turned out to hear him speak. The manhunt continues for a suspect. CBS's Jared Hill.
Utah's Department of Public Safety believes the suspect fired the bullet from the roof of a nearby building up to 200 yards away, sources tell CBS News. Two persons of interest were taken into custody and later released.
South Carolina's Republican Congresswoman Nancy Mace.
My kids have called panicking. They probably, all the kids of every conservative in the country called panicking. Just because you speak your mind on an issue doesn't mean you get shot.
President Trump's ordered flags lowered to half staff. Kirk was married with two young daughters. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.